WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Clarence Major is one of the few black writers known for experimental fiction and poetry. His last two novels, Such Was the Season and Painted Turtle, are a departure from Major. They're more narrative and may bring him a wider readership. Such Was the Season is about a middle-aged black intellectual with an identity crisis who returns home to the South for a visit. Such Was the Season isn't narrated by the intellectual, who has more in common with Major, but is told through the voice of the Southern aunt, Annie Eliza, who grew up poor and uneducated.
I grew up with people, my mother, for example, and her sisters, and all the elderly women in the neighborhoods I ever lived in. I think Annie Eliza is put together out of all of that mosaic of people, you know, of elderly black women. I know them like I know myself. And I thought they had, you know, that they really were a kind of cornerstone to the communities. And they were very valuable as preservers of culture and history and so on. And all it was very important. And something else, too, that I think is often denied, black Americans have a legacy of you know, that goes back to Africa, of having a very matriarchal way of thinking and living. And I think what I wanted to do was to look at a set of experiences from the point of view of someone who was old enough to remember that legacy, which is, of course, has been receding and dying over the last 50 years or so.
Your new novel, Painted Turtle, Woman with Guitar, is about Indians in the Southwest. I was surprised when I picked up this book and found out that it was about Native Americans. So I had to ask myself, why were you writing from the perspective of Native Americans? And if, you know, was there any Native American blood in your family?
Oh, yeah, Cherokees. But that's not the main reason I got interested in this. The main reason has to do with the fact that I live in Colorado, and I've lived there for 11 years. And I spent a lot of time in the Southwest, in New Mexico and Arizona, and around reservations and so on. I got very interested in just looking at the cultures down there and these people who had been there for thousands of years.
I'm going to ask you to read a passage from your new novel. And I don't know if you'd like to set it up at all before you start the reading.
Well, let me see. It's actually a novel told by a young Navajo who's in love with a Zuni woman, and he's lovingly telling the story of her life, making it up literally, in this magical way, and telling how she transformed him and brought him around to seeing some of her own values, which were, in the end, morally superior to his own. If you're a man, it's hard to always know exactly how to write about a woman, even as a girl growing up. Yet, you must try your best. You can see she didn't have much time to play with dolls. There were her little brother and sisters, perfect dolls with real diapers, and the trouble of herself. She had diarrhea and toothache. Even as she played tag and jacks, she had to look forward to emptying the morning slop jar, helping to scrub the floor, fry the mutton, clean the skillets, slice the onions. Winter cold drove itself through the logs like nothing you can think of in the Southwest. They say a woman's body is warmer than a man's. Don't believe it. I lay beside her many nights when she was grown. I was warm and she was cold. Did she color in coloring books by the stove in the deep of winter? She did. She wanted to be a boy. Little wonder. Boys at Zuni could look forward to initiation. After that, After the visit with the men to the kivas, they stepped up into daylight like gods born out of the ashes of the dead.
The beginning of that passage really reminds me of your plight as a writer. The character in the book describes how difficult it is for a man to describe a woman. And you're making up lots of characters and describing them, but in this instance, you're describing a whole culture that isn't your own. Was that quite a challenge to take on?
Absolutely, yes. And I like that challenge, that sort of challenge, and for the same reason that I liked Anna Eliza as a challenge, you know, the gender thing, putting myself in the place of a woman. But the main reason I like the challenge is because I don't like to do the same thing over and over.
Your last two novels, this one, Painted Turtle, and your previous one, Such Was the Season, are much more narrative-oriented than some of your previous work, which was more experimental.
Right.
Was that a conscious thing to become more narrative in your fiction?
I think by the time I wrote Such Was the Season, I was interested in that voice as an experiment, one that I had never tried.
And, the voice of the ant.
Yeah, and for me, it was just as experimental as anything I'd ever done, although it comes off as looking more conventional to someone who's familiar with my work, you know, and I've even had people say, oh, Clarence is sold out, you know, he's writing straight novels. But that's not the case at all. In fact, some reviewers, one in the Washington Post, for example, thought that it was an exact continuation of the earlier experiments.
I want to read you a quote from Such Was the Season and see if this something similar has applied to you in any way. There's a scene where June Boy, who is the northern scientist who goes down to the south to visit his aunt, is taken to a party, and there he meets the mayor. And the mayor says to him, I admire your work about sickle cell anemia, but what we black people need are strong, lasting families. I was wondering if you ever got something similar from people. I admire your experimental writing, but what we black people need are good, inspirational stories.
Oh, yes, especially back in the 60s when I was going around a lot of college campuses, and my work wasn't thought of as particularly relevant because it wasn't strongly nationalistic and politically obvious. So I got a lot of that criticism.
In 1970, you edited an encyclopedia of Afro-American slang. It's something that, at least in our conversation, you don't use much of. And it's interesting to me that you'd be this interested in slang, yet not really necessarily use it yourself in speech.
And not slangy.
Yeah.
Well, I can be slangy. I don't choose to be. I think, you know, what can I say? Basically, you talk the way you talk when it's appropriate.
What interests you in slang, the way language changes?
I was interested in how the language, evolving language in the black community, was also a kind of gesture of rebellion and a kind of attempt to preserve black culture and to assert it. Of course, I mean, there have been other people who've done so much more work in that area than I've ever done. You know, I'm not a scholar in that sense, but I was interested in how the language evolves as protest as well.
Are you working on a new novel now?
Yes. I just finished a big novel, my biggest, most ambitious book, called Solid Ground. And it's set in Venice, Italy, but it moves all over the place. It's set in the South. It's set in Athens, Georgia, in Atlanta, Chicago, New York. It starts in the 30s, and it moves up to the 80s.
It should give you a lot of voices to capture.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Writer Clarence Major, his latest books are Such Was the Season, published by Mercury House, and Painted Turtle, published by Sun and Moon Press. This semester, he's teaching in the creative writing program at Temple University. This is Fresh Air.